You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Julie Burstein. I'm here for Leonard Lopate today, and we've got a wonderful show ahead. We're going to begin with a book of essays. Nora Ephron has written that having a baby is like throwing a hand grenade into a marriage. And from the writers of the essays in a new collection called Blindsided by a Diaper, that does seem to be true for many people. The tales in this book come right from writers who are on what many seem to consider the front lines of parenthood. The book is published by Three River Press, and with us today are the book's editor, Dana Hilmer, and contributor Amy Son here in the studio with me. And then by phone from Montana, we have the contributor, Michael Finkel. Welcome, all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, Dana, I wanted to ask you first. You were the one who organized this book. Mm-hmm. What did you ask people when you said, I'm putting together a book, and I want you to write about?
I want you to write about the many ways in which, a way in which your relationship changed since having kids. And I think everybody's take on that is different. And as the editor, that was my goal, was to make sure that the many ways in which your relationship can change were, in fact, represented in the book.
You organize it into different sections, and there mm-hmm. are names like The Roles We Play and Making Time for Intimacy. Did that come to you after you saw the essays, or did you have a kind of idea of where you were going to go with
this? That's a good question. I had kind of an idea of some of the chapters as I went along. You kind of started finding holes, you know, that I really want to find a writer that can write about X. And so as it developed, it did change a little bit. And so the final chapter titles were made after I got the whole selection. I wanted the essays to dictate the book, not the structure to dictate what I found. You know, I think I wanted to make sure I got all the voices.
Amy, one of the sections is The Roles We Play, and that's one of the things that you talk about in your essay, which was also in the New York Times, part of it anyway, a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, it was.
Can you tell us a little bit about the role you expected to play when you became a mother?
Well, I had this, you know, I'm a magazine writer and novelist and journalist, and I had this idea that I was going to have the baby and just hand it over to my husband, and he would become a full-time stay-at-home father, and I would just go off and do my work and, you know, maybe just see the baby at night. And, you know, once I actually had my daughter, I thought, well, gee, you know, I kind of want to hang out with her. And so...
She's what, more interesting than you expected her to be.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Of course, I wanted to spend time with her. And so we wound up negotiating an arrangement that I think neither of us anticipated, which is we split the childcare 50-50, and we also have a part-time caregiver, which works out really well. We've been doing basically, you know, what I think is called the two-thirds solution, where each parent works two-thirds of the time, and together it's one and a third, you know. And it's great because I think, you know, at the same time that I realized that I wanted to spend time with my daughter, which I was luckily still able to do a lot of because I work at home, and I think that's something that's important to point out is a lot of these anthologies that deal with parenting are written by freelance writers
who work at home
and set their own hours and have the best of both worlds because we can do something we enjoy and spend time with our children and mm-hmm. be at home.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right that if this were a book of interviews with people who both of whom have to get up, get the kids off to school and then go off to their jobs, it might be a different kind of
conversation. Exactly. And so as I, you know, realized that I wanted to be with my daughter, I think my husband also realized that it wasn't so much that he didn't want to be a, you know, of course he wanted to spend time with our daughter as well, but that, you know, he's an artist and a painter, and painters have to put a lot more time into their work than writers do because that's just the nature of the work. So, you know, we were able to hire a really wonderful person. It still never feels like quite enough childcare, and yet I think we both enjoy our daughter so much that, you know, we're not quite ready to get a full-time nanny. Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised by the change in your own approach to what you were, you'd had these expectations and then things were different. Were you surprised
by
that?
Yeah, well, I think I was invested in this image of myself as, you know, kind of a breadwinning mother, you know, like the woman on the Charlie ad or, you know, patting the man on the behind or what was the commercial that, you know, I'll bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan. And, you know, that I think there was a mythology in that. I think part of what I was saying was that I did not want to give up my identity and that work mattered and mattered too much to me for me to suddenly put it aside. I knew that I would never be a full-time stay-at-home mother. But, you know, the pull of motherhood, I think, that I experienced is that I wanted to be with my child. And I just can't emphasize enough how lucky I am to be self-employed.
Dana, did you find this in many of the people that you worked with, that their initial conception of what was going to happen once that baby came out was met with a lot of surprise when they had an actual baby?
Well, absolutely. And that's why the title of the book is called Blindsided by a Diaper. I think a lot of people, when they have a baby, are very surprised by how it affects not only their life, but their relationship. And it kind of blows you sideways. I mean, you're in a world that you weren't in before, and your life will never be the same. And for some people, that's, you know, it's certainly a very profound change. It's a beautiful change. But for some people, that's very scary. And it's certainly irrevocable. And so you really need to learn how to create a new life and create a new definition of who you are as a couple now that it's not just the two of you anymore.
Michael, you're on the phone with us from Montana. And in your essay, which is in a different section of the book, you talk about the one thing that the baby did that no one else could do, which was make you grow up. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm still kicking and screaming against that. I mean, this is the book itself, Blindsided, is a very, it's a modern book. It's this, it's probably a situation that many youngish couples find themselves in America, which is, how do you both be a parent and be yourself rather than, you know, you don't want to be a bad parent, but you can't completely subjugate yourself, your career, your sense of, your selfishness. And this is what my essay is about. This is what I think, most of the book is about. And, half the essays can be, used as the ideal form of contraception.
I was going to ask about that because, yes, well, as you read this book, if you don't have kids, I wonder if people will be a little concerned about what will happen.
Well, it's funny. I've thought about that, and I conclude that I don't think so, because I think the book still sends away a very inspiring message. And I think despite the fact that people are profoundly honest and there certainly are some sobering issues discussed in the book, there's an awful lot of humor, too. And I think that's hugely a big part of parenthood, and that is definitely a big part of this book as well.
What I think sets this book apart from a lot of the other ones that are out there is that it's extraordinarily honest. And let's just face the fact: a lot of being a parent sucks. And anybody who doesn't
for some people,
that,
yes, I think that's that may be true.
I think what the book more than anything is an argument for early sleep training, because so many of the essays deal with the stress of sleep deprivation. And I just kept reading. I'm lucky; my daughter slept through the night very early on. A couple weeks old, she was sleeping five or 6 hours. But when you read it, you just think, why don't they Ferberize?
Having been through Ferberization, you understand why some people don't Ferberize. But Michael, you said something interesting when you first responded, which is this is for young-ish people. My sense was that many of these couples are in their late 20s, early 30s, sometimes 40s, but that they're wrestling with questions, and I wonder if you think these are questions that our parents wrestled with or whether these are different questions because of what our generation brings to this whole idea of parenting.
I mean, to include myself in this category, we're an extraordinarily selfish generation, meaning that, we don't want to give up that much stuff, and we would like to add to it, which is one of the reasons why we probably sleep gets cut out pretty quickly, just because I don't, there's not too many essays about saying, I'm quitting my job and completely, devoting myself to motherhood or fatherhood. I think this is, this is a relatively newish trend, and also unique to, the United States and Europe. Generally speaking, this is probably be a trend that'll happen around the world. But it used to be, that was your whole mission in life, was to have children, have a lot of them, and raise them. And the thought of, maintaining your self-identity was secondary.
I think what's interesting in the chapter, the roles we play, is really talking about how that changes your relationship. So for example, my husband and I, when we worked in New York City, we used to laugh that our paychecks were pretty darn close to the same. W-2 forms were almost the same at the end of the year. We did very close to the same thing. At the end of the day, we had a lot of the same type of things to share about our work day. at the end of the day, it was, where do you want to go for dinner, you know? And now we've taken on a little bit more of the traditional role, which was a surprise to me because I'm very ambitious career-wise. But that does change, you know, your relationship. It changes what you're doing every day, what you're talking about with each other, what you're thinking about. And sometimes you're kind of existing in parallel universes because you are doing different things with your day. And, you know, I think this chapter explores that, you know, whether you're the breadwinner like Amy or whether you're taking more traditional roles, whatever role it is that you assume, it is different than the role that you assumed when you were courting each other and when you were getting married. And that does have an impact on your relationship.
I'm speaking with Dana Hilmer, who's the editor of a book called Blindsided by a Diaper, and two of the essayists, Amy Sohn and Michael Finkel, and we are talking about parenting. We're also going to be taking your calls in a little while, so if you have any questions for them or just an anecdote you'd like to share, you can call us at 212-433-9692. I'm Julie Burstein, and I'm here for Leonard Lopate today. One of the things that struck me as I read this book is that there were a couple of essays that stood out for me, and those were the ones that kind of were different from the rest. There was one that I just finished by Ariel Gore about having a baby at the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And this is a very different way of approaching parenthood. And it did make me realize that there's such a range of experience here.
There is. And her, you know, it's interesting. Her essay, you're right, is very different than the other essays. And, you know, when you read the book, you'd certainly understand why. But I think
it's also very funny. And she brings in food and she's living in Tuscany. Well, but it's very sobering, too.
It is. I mean, essentially, she was with a young guy who clearly didn't have his act together at all. And now that she was a mom, she realized, wow, you know, I'm looking at this guy with a completely different lens, and I need a different life. I need my life for myself and my daughter to be different. And so at the end, she obviously concludes that she's going to leave her boyfriend. But I think that's, you know, part of, again, what happens when you become a parent. You look at your partner a little bit differently. And, you know, in many cases, you see your partner in a new light in a wonderful way and fall in love with your partner all over again. And that's certainly part of what's covered in this book is the joys of rediscovering each other and seeing each other in a new way. But that doesn't always happen, as in the case with Ariel Gore.
And I know, Amy, in your essay you touch upon this, but a lot of the essays dealt with the kind of struggle for primacy as a parent, as a new parent, of who gets to have the baby's first words and the baby's reaching for them when they're hurt. And It was interesting to me to see that theme really come up in a number of the essays.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that's unique about this book is the fathers who contributed essays mm-hmm. are very involved. And, of course, a lot of them talk about how they fought with their wives because the wives felt that they weren't involved enough. They didn't get up in the middle of the night with the baby. But it really is a good sort of snapshot of the way that I think many couples, are, you know, whether it's both parents working or one parent working, trying to both wanting to be involved with the children, and it's no longer just the terrain of the mother. I think this is especially true of couples who had children later in life, that there's a feeling of, I'm not going to miss out on this, you know. And the downside of that, of course, is that when you have children at an older age, you know, the sleep loss and all of these and the energy that it takes to chase a toddler around and all of that is very, very trying.
And you're a little more set in your ways, too.
And you're more set in your ways, exactly. Yeah. Much more stubborn. But, you know, at the same time, there's also, you know, there are first-time dads now in their 50s who are probably contemplating their own mortality at the same time as they're raising little ones. And that puts a kind of different light on the time that they spend with their children. They don't want to miss out on those moments. But I think it's a combination of arguing with your spouse about, you know, who gets to do all the fun things about being a parent, and then also arguing about, you know, you get up with her. I don't want to. I'm too tired, you know, or you pretend to be asleep.
And it also, reading these things, it just made me, as the parent of two boys, think about the first rule of playdates, which is don't have three kids, only have two kids at home, because some person is going to get left out. And there was that sense in these new families that somebody was always feeling like, the baby's more connected to you. No, the baby's more connected to you.
And right,
there
and
was the sense of someone
syndrome.
Being left out.
And that's why
right.
a lot of people go on to have two children, because then you're no longer a triangle. You know, then, and I think mm-hmm. I only have one right now, but what a lot of my friends have said is that once you're a family of four, the couple kind of regains their connection because suddenly the children are on one side and the parents are on another, and it brings back some of the intimacy that may have been lost when you're just a triangle.
It does change the dynamic quite a bit. I'm Julie Burstein. I'm here with Dana Hilmer, Amy Sohn, and Michael Finkel for their book Blindsided by a Diaper, which was published by Three Rivers Press. We'll be taking a quick break, but stay with us. And meanwhile, if you'd like, call us at 212-433-9692. I'm Julie Burstein. I'm here for Leonard Lope today. And in the studio, I have Dana Hilmer, who is the editor of Blindsided by a Diaper, a collection of essays, and Amy Sohn, who is one of the essayists. And on the phone from Montana, we have Michael Finkel. Now, Michael, you talked a little bit about selfishness and honesty when you spoke a little bit before. And I was refreshed by your own honesty about first, being really frustrated that you couldn't get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night because you had a very light sleeper for a baby. What did you find in terms of response to your being willing to talk about that?
The joys of living in an isolated community in Montana.
Means you don't get much of a response.
I think the book is just hitting the shelves, and so it'll be a little while before it trickles down. I think we're still in the latter days of the Clinton administration out here. So please don't tell me what happens in the future.
So that time shift across the country is even bigger than we think it is?
It can be. What I was struck by, though, in the conversation, even like I think Amy was talking about her two-thirds solution, and there's various permutations and incredibly complex mathematical formulas going on. Basically, you know, again, with modern parenting and everybody's scenario, there's sort of this daily shifting of you know, the word solution itself it probably should be appended with a little asterisk saying, you know, for this week. This daily shifting of how you're going to juggle all the various things that you'd like to do in a day, including, you know, catch up on sleep, which we talked about earlier. And I'm sure that almost everyone out there who has a child is sort of nodding or smiling and thinking about the various incredibly complex quote-unquote solutions that people have arrived
like
at.
Like arguing over who gets to exercise.
Exactly.
I want to go to the gym. No, I want to go to the gym.
Well, and also that the sleep deprivation may not end at the age of two.
I think Hope Edelman in the essay had a terrific solution. She wrote an essay called The 3 a.m. Marriage.
Yes,
and
about getting up and
exactly.
speaking to her husband when both of them were actually lucid,
right.
which
they,
was 3 a.m.
They both have the various roles they play during the day, but
you know,
at 3 a.m.
the problem
is
I tried that, and it really didn't work.
Didn't work for you, okay.
I woke up my husband at 3 a.m. and said, I really want to talk about some serious things. He said, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. The problem is the 4 a.m. trying to go back to sleep, which
right.
sometimes doesn't work. So
I'm glad it works for her.
But that was one interesting thing that I looked at this as the parent of two kids thinking, all right, is there a solution in here that might work for me for all of these issues, sleep deprivation, difficulty communicating? And Hope's was one that I thought, oh, that might be interesting to try.
Right.
But most of what I found was a kind of continuation of all of the issues that many of us face as parents.
I think you're right. I think the book itself has got dozens of perspectives on how your relationship changes. And I think as a reader, you would probably find some nugget of truth that you can relate to in each essay. And certainly some essays will speak to you more loudly and clearly than other essays. But I think because this is a human experience, that, you know, we all experience as parents, there is a nugget of truth, I think, that you can find in each essay. And, you know, certainly my hope when people read the book is that they will, you know, take from it a new perspective in their relationship because, you know, they've gotten a chance to kind of see a little bit of themselves in each one of these essays.
We're going to be taking your calls in a minute. The number is 212-433-9692. Before we do that, we're getting emails also from listeners. This is a listener from Maplewood, New Jersey, who says, the guests are an argument for the selfishness of so many people on the fast track. I don't understand how one can say that they don't want to lose their identity when they become parents. If that's a concern, don't have a kid. I'm a father who stayed at home for a long time with my son, and I'm sick and tired of being asked if I'm babysitting my son. That points to a prejudice that is entirely grown from ego. I'm a bit saddened to hear the few contributors to the Parents Anthology complain about becoming parents. What do you think about that kind of response to what you're talking about?
Well, I think you're allowed to complain about something and love it at the same time. And so complaining doesn't mean that you don't want to spend time with your children or any of that. But, you know, I think that his point about selfishness is an important one. I think it's also tied into this new phenomenon of, you know, people having children later. You are more set in your ways. You've had, say, 10 to 15 to maybe even 20 years to enjoy your leisure time, establish your musical preferences, mm-hmm. and, you know, do what you want to do. And you would think for some parents that having had all of that time, it would be easier for them to make the choice. Well, now my needs are going to come second and I'm going to just worry about my child. But I think, you know, the odd phenomenon is that parents are more set in their ways and they're not willing to give those things up. And I do think that, you know, one of the things you realize once you have a child is you have to make sacrifices. You know, there's a great essay, but Nikki Weinstock's essay, he says that the fathers are allowed two independent activities outside of family life. One of them is work. And then beyond work, they only get one more. And so, you know, he went through a variety of sports mm-hmm. to find his second. But, you know, you definitely have to make choices.
I think one thing I should point out, too, that, you know, we have two contributors here today and there's 32 contributors in the book. I think with any anthology, the important thing is that the voices that are shared are, you know, open, honest voices, and it's meant to open a dialogue. I think the voices in the book are so varied and that you're hearing two of them here today. And, you know, it's again, the focus of the book is not on do we give up our time with our child or do we work. The voices in the book and the purpose of the book is to focus not on the work life, the work family balance, but to focus on the many ways your relationship changes because of the choices that you make. Work family balance is just one of those choices.
What I found interesting, though, in reading it was there's so many deep joys of being a parent, and some of them are reflected here, but not that often. Mostly it's what people may lose from becoming a parent, not the immense worlds that you gain when you have these children in your life that bring you things you never expected.
Well, I think that's because Dana really wanted the focus of the book to be on the relationship. So in thinking about how did mm-hmm. having, not did how did having a child change my life, but how did having mm-hmm. a child change my life with my partner, you know, I think all of us as writers, right. we're trying to find some conflict and drama because it mm-hmm. makes for more interesting essays.
Well, yeah, and I think the word change kind of implies that, you know, you were happily as a couple and then you had a baby. So the word change implies that now something's, you know, obviously different. And I think that's what people focused on. Of course, there are so many joys that people experience as parents, and I do certainly think that that is discussed in the book. But in this book, parenthood is simply a backdrop for your relationship and the way your relationship changes. And that was the challenge as an editor, is that with
and that's
the essays,
hard because parenthood is not a backdrop; well, it's sort of foreground.
It's all encompassing.
So
exactly.
It is, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, as the editor, you know, there were so many. People with so many of the writers with their essays that, you know, kind of went off on tangents about how parenthood changed them or how, you know, going on about their child. And that's all wonderful and beautifully important. But I had to kind of reel in the essays a little bit to focus again on the relationship. How did your relationship change, you know, for good, for bad, for, you know, everything in between as a result of the fact that you took on this role of a parent?
Well, let's take a couple of calls. The first is going to be Pierre. He is driving right now. I hope you're not driving, actually. I hope you may have stopped. And you have two kids, it says here, and you're a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah, hi. I have stopped.
Good.
Hi, Pierre.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I don't know if it's right on the point about how it affected our relationship, but, I mean, what happened to me was we had one child, and I was a freelancer, and my wife had a full-time job with insurance, so it was a pretty much a done decision that I was going to stay home with the child. And I found myself competing between my career, you know, trying to keep my career going and my child. And then, you know, shortly we had a second child, and the interesting thing was that, you know, that won the battle for the kids, and I decided to put my career on hold while we got them through primary years. And that decision was really liberating. It really, you know, it made things so much better for everyone involved in our relationship mm-hmm. with the kids. You know, everyone benefited from a full commitment to parenting. And it really, you know, I had the same reaction actually as the email when I listened to the contributors about, you know, if you're going to have the kid, you know, what are you complaining about? You know, and but unfortunately for me, it took having two to really realize that. Yeah.
Good for you.
So I don't know. Again, I don't know.
Does it bother you when people use the word babysitting to describe the time that you're spending with your children, the caretaking that you're doing?
Well, when people see me with two babies, the word is more like suffering than babysitting.
How old are your kids, Pierre?
They're 4 months and 16 months. And,
oh, wow. Oh my goodness. Good for you. you got the Irish twins, huh?
Yeah, just basically, yeah. They're about 2 weeks, a year and 2 weeks apart. So, it's sort of, it's a lot of work. But like I said, it's been really gratifying because it really forced the commitment. And in doing so, it also reminded me that it's not forever, and that once the kids, are a little more independent and in school and so on and so forth, there is a life to return to.
Right, and that time just goes by so fast, and it's so precious. So, yeah.
Thanks. Right. And actually watching the first kid go by his first year and then seeing the second one come along, it was a huge reminder of how fast it goes by.
Well, thanks so much for your call. We've got a lot of other people on the line, and I wanted to go to a caller who has called in from Roosevelt Island. This is Roy. And Roy, we were talking about parents who enter parenthood at an older age, but it says here that you're 77 and your wife is 50 and you have 5-year-old twins.
That's right.
Wow, good for you.
This is my second go-round for both of us. It's our second go-round of parenting, and it's a totally different experience. I would say maybe the book should be titled The Difference in Relationship, period. In now as against before. When I think back on when I was raising my other two sons, or other three sons, rather, who are now 45, 46, and 44, I went out to work, and my then-wife stayed home and took care of the kids. And that was the model that I had for my parents and that I assumed was the way things were for all humanity. Now it's entirely different. Now I should be retired, but I'm not. I am pursuing my career as a musician. My wife is pursuing her career as a medical profession, and we both share the parenting function. We have no help at all. We do it all ourselves. The fact that I'm home helps a lot when I'm practicing my instrument and so on. But the thing is that our relationship, in terms of our relationship between my wife and myself and between us and the children, is so different than it was when I had my other children.
Could you have ever imagined this kind of life for yourself when you were raising those other boys?
Not in a million years. I could not have conceived of it. For example, we all sleep in the same room. It's not that the kids are not out, somewhere else, but this is a concept that we welcomed and that we used, where we all sleep together in the same room. Of course, as you might imagine, the times when we have for our own private activities, shall we say, are very prized, and it's almost like working on a digital clock.
I think it's a wonderful example of how the generation has changed, and that having kids and isn't really part of life script anymore. It's a choice, and once you become parents together, you really are navigating how you want to do this. And there's a lot of decisions and a lot of negotiations, and you can really choose the way it works for you as a couple. And that's certainly part of what this journey is, and how things change between you
as a couple.
That caller had a
unique perspective too, being able to sort of first-hand experience of two generations of child rearing.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
It's like the Roger Clemens of parenting right there.
When you went into this, Dana, did you also look to see if you could get a variety of sort of socioeconomic responses to parenting too? Is this something, or did you find that this sort of section of parents that are independent writers kind of are self-sufficient and are able to take on the financial burdens of parenthood?
I think I wasn't thinking about socioeconomic class as much as I was thinking about the different stages of parenting. Even though the title of the book is Blindsided by a Diaper, it's not only about that stage of life where you have a baby. There's a lot of essays that talk about parenthood throughout the whole course of journey of parenthood and how your relationship changes across that whole spectrum of being a parent. And there's also quite a few essays that reflect backwards, people that have grown children that look back and reflect upon what it was like raising kids and how things changed for them in the relationship over that time period. So that was really my focus more, was to get that spectrum of experiences, not only in the baby stages, but really throughout the whole parenting experience.
We have another caller. Oh, we just lost that caller. We have a number of other callers. We only have a couple more minutes left, though. So before I go to another call, I wanted to ask you about a number of the essays where the relationship did not survive the child. Mm-hmm. Perhaps one of the most sobering and powerful is Susan Cheever's at the end, where she wrote about her second child and the marriage that mm-hmm. she had to this child's father, and the regret that she felt about what mm-hmm. happened when the child was a baby, that felt so powerful mm-hmm. and so irrevocable at that mm-hmm. moment, but that may have led to the loss of her marriage.
Well, I think her essay is so powerful, and that's why I chose to close the book with her essay, and it's certainly an essay that's spoken very loudly to me. It's an essay of reflecting backward on the fact that two marriages were lost, and she ultimately concludes that she thinks she dropped the ball, so to speak, and that's the title of her essay. She was focusing on her career, and she was focusing certainly on her children, and the focus on the husband just wasn't as much of a priority with the new love that she had for a given baby. And I think her essay, you know, certainly was an essay that she felt very strongly about contributing, because it spoke so strongly to her. And I think her lesson that she wanted to share, and I think she succeeded, is that even though you're in the midst of this, the most important thing you can do is to stay married. Well, I shouldn't say that. The most important thing you can do is to try to focus certainly on your relationship. Not everybody can stay married, of course, but in her situation, she realizes that she perhaps dropped the ball.
And I think that one of the things that requires is that you make time for each other in the form of getting babysitters. I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many couples that go, I haven't gone out in 5 years because I couldn't get a babysitter. In all of New York City, you couldn't find a single person to take care of your kids for 5 years. I mean, it doesn't just happen on its own. And I think that if there is a prescription in the book, it's that finding your way back to each other after a child is not something that just immediately happens. It's something that you have to make happen by getting away, even if it's not for an overnight trip, you know, going out once a week. And mm-hmm. and I think that the mistake that a lot of these today's parents make is thinking that they are the only ones who can care for their children. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of competent people. If you can't afford a babysitter, you can try to get family to help you, although it is harder when people don't have family close by. So make your lover a priority and verbalize.
Can I interject?
Yes, for a moment.
One of the other essays that I thought was terrific, kind of pointing out the importance of intimacy with your spouse or your partner, is Muffy Mead Farrow's essay. And she talked about how a lot of people confuse intimacy with their children with intimacy with your spouse. And, I can't stand the idea of having somebody hanging on me at night. I've had kids hanging off me all day. But really looking at that and realizing how ridiculous that is. I mean, your intimacy with your spouse is so different, or your partner is so different than your intimacy with your children. And to really make that distinction and to appreciate and spend time, you know, with your partner in that way.
Well, all of these essays are in the book Blindsided by a Diaper. And thank you so much to Dana Hilmer, Amy Sohn, and Michael Finkel for coming in to talk with me
today.
It's
a pleasure being here. Thank you very much.